This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
This is Monster in My Podcast.
And this is a continuation of Boulder Fest 2017. I forget where we're at now.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Part 5. Wednesday, week 2.
Yeah.
Looking at social. So we know what tape makes them tick. We know what they can do.
Yeah.
We know what they like to eat.
Yeah.
More importantly,
we know what they dislike. Like. Yeah. Which is everything, except somehow they managed to hold it together, you know?
Everything, including fried foods and balls. And however, they have like a social organization. Like they seem like these guys would be natural born loners, but they're not.
Yeah.
Like they, if somebody's exactly the same as them, they'll hang out with them.
Yeah. Which basically just means if they are my mother brother, then yes, I will probably play nice with them.
My hive brother from another hive mother.
And so this chapter comes along with the requisite, you know, kind of like, oh, there will be 1 to 5 hive mothers and this many, like all of those, like how do these things scale? They have lists of the different kind of client races, the minions. Where things get interesting is when we get into cities and swarms.
Yes. Yeah. So the city, you know, resulting community, no matter how big it is called a city. These come up for 2 reasons, because the same beholder breed dominates a geographical locale, so for convenience, or because the hive mothers in question decide to call for a swarm. And that is that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And great.
So the hive mothers are just like holding these people together. That is the only reason. And so they are kind of laying down the law of the land and also creating these abominations in order to function, you know, to serve these necessary functions. Then they call together the swarm, which is, hey, every couple of centuries, we have a goal that we want to accomplish. And so let's get as many of these people together and just put our noggins together.
Yes. Essentially like the end goal, you know, is that, you know, travel to distant places, spread their perfection.
Right.
Etc.
Yeah.
Eventually this ended up being with them building ships and starships. This is why there are beholders in space.
Oh, that was just one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the most, well, cause it's the most sensical one. Cause a lot of these, it doesn't really say like what this goal is actually is.
Mm-hmm.
It just says they're complicated plans based on years of analysis.
Yeah.
But like, they don't actually, it's like somebody got Peter principled into a management position. I'm like,
they were harnessing the manic energy of an entire population of obsessive compulsive personalities.
Yes.
And so they decided to go to space because all of their knowledge involved floating and going to places and telling other people what to do.
And how great they were.
Yeah.
So they just create this like huge, you know, like they put this chemical in the air that summons beholders from everywhere. They show up and they just kind of do this like infighting and like debating and accumulating their knowledge, putting it together towards whatever end this is.
But they have to decide which hive mother is going to be the one that reigns supreme. And that is when they do the dropping.
Yes.
Which is when the champions of all the hive mothers go up 1,000 feet and then plummet. And they play chicken with the ground.
Yes. Which I can just imagine watching this. Like everything about these guys is like, these are like the undignified version of mind flayers.
Oh yeah.
Like none of the stuff in this chapter is dignified.
No.
If you imagine any of it, it's so stupid.
But in their heads, it's entirely justified.
Yeah.
Well, imagine watching this. You might be one of the people who's conscripted because they don't trust any other beholder to judge because they, you know, they can perceive these slight differences. So they will kidnap humans and make them watch and say like, hey, you need to be impartial. So we'll let you go. And then they never get let go.
That's one of the, like the weirdest things that could happen. In like, if you lived in Faerun, when you're like, what a way to die. What a death by misadventure that is. Like I judged a beholder diving competition,
mm-hmm.
and then was murdered by beholders.
Yep.
This is where we learn about how beholders become exiled if they're demented, which we talked about, and that just happens to be if they're not awful.
Yeah.
You know. We get to their arts and entertainment section where we get to learn about their games and stuff.
Yes.
Which exist. So architecture, cool.
Yep.
You know, that's architecture.
There's a whole chapter on that later. They build tunnels, and because they can float, it's not necessarily navigable by humans.
Yeah. That's a detail we knew from the Monsters Manual, I believe, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that one city in Morrowind for wizards.
Yeah. Bombardment, which is just Laser Floyd.
Yeah. Yep. They do laser light shows for each other. That lasts about 10 minutes. It's like kind of what they have instead of music.
Yeah.
It seems like, and it's, yeah, they put light, do laser light shows on the wall. Weird.
They draw diagrams and stuff. Yeah.
They race.
I love the racing areas. Because they race through the heavy gas spores. So they set up obstacles for themselves. These gas spores are the big floating prisoner orbs that will explode and then embed you with other spores and make you sprout new ones. I just love the idea of them doing like dog racing and then later on not dog racing that's crazy of doing drag racing and then later on we learn about them doing dog fighting.
Yeah, which humans call dog fights.
Yes, of them doing their thing. But this racing, I was just picturing like beholders with slicked back eye stalks. You know, like
Beholder comes out in like short jorts, waving a checkered flag. Like she looks like the Beholder equivalent of what's her head, Betty, you know that lady.
Yeah, Betty Veronica. Yeah.
Yeah, sexy biker lady from the 60s.
Yep, and then the one who wins, he's got custom eye stalks. One is Grease, and the other is Lightning.
Yeah, it's great. That's pretty good. We can't end on that, but that's funny.
I know.
Sculpture, which we talked about, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They take pride in it. So it's not only, you know, a living sculpture, but also, you know, carving the stone with their disintegration. And then the most boring stories imaginable.
Yeah. That all began with and or all end with. And then it met me. Like, what?
So basically setting up like, you know, this incredibly long setup and, you know, describing how fearsome this thing was. And then it met me. Everything is about.
Okay. I gotcha.
Human bards who have overheard such stories call them appalling and incredibly tedious.
I love it. I love it. I love anything. It's like the Vosgians or whatever from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Oh, yeah.
They just have the bad poetry. I really love that. And then trophy collection, which is like just them, you know, their spoils of battle, right? Like their magic items and armors and shit.
Yeah. There are a couple of religious rites. They generally don't worship anybody besides themselves. You know, we have those deities, but it's mostly a creation story. Birth. There's not much special there. Go ahead.
There's a little bit to it because it kind of backs up the 50s greaser, like, you know, tunnel orbs rule kind of way that this is, because a newborn baby has, you know, it's examined by the, you know, the parent, and if it has any flaws, it's destroyed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they put them before the community.
Yeah.
And they walk, do the parade.
Yeah.
They walk through and everyone kind of looks up their baby up and down
to make sure it fits in.
Yeah, and otherwise they murder it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't really bury anybody. They just have a big circular pit that represents the Great Mother, and they throw them in there.
Just stick everybody in a big stinking, like, orb pit. Yeah. One of the best things about this book, so early on, I can't remember what part it is, but it's like C chapter, you know, 7 or whatever, mm-hmm. Ask My Lord Wizard.
Yes.
And I was like, Ask My Lord Wizard, what? Oh, boy. Like, what's that going to be once we get there?
Right.
And it's a fact. Like, it's like an advice column from this wizard.
Yep, it's people saying like, hey, what's the deal with,
it's really like, I want to live in a world where this is in the newspaper. And the illustration here is awesome. There's like these people roasting a beholder, because again, you know, that's my first question, like, yeah. I would like to get hired by Wizards of the Coast to make a D&D monsters manual that only deals with eating them.
Oh yeah,
like every all the main monsters, like, what, how do you prepare them, what do you do, what do they taste like,
yeah,
you know, what do you have to watch out for,
yeah,
like
and incredible beasts and how to prepare them. Yeah.
There's like literally no animal that I don't think, like, that is like no monster.
Yeah.
No fictitious character. Like, it is essentially like, I just want to know.
My favorite thing about this illustration is the person in the back holding aloft the eye. Like it's a trophy, yeah. Like it's fucking Simba.
Yeah. Soon this tribe will be yours. Okay, here are the questions. Do beholders have eyelids? Like, it's kind of a good question, right? Like,
yeah.
You never see them, like, you know, fucking Peter Griffin eyed.
Yeah.
They do.
Yep. For all of them. So it's not just the main one. If you raise one from infancy to adulthood, will it be your friend forever? No, not even if you feed and bathe it regularly, which makes me want just an animated GIF of somebody bathing a beholder.
And it just like with a real big smile on its face.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's a smile.
Is the levitation magical? We've already covered this, my lord.
Yes, we have.
Can beholders be eaten? Yes. Yep. It tastes extremely bad.
Yep. It looks like unusually dense and greasy pork.
Oh, that is such a good description for this.
It is. And the only way to make it palatable is to make it into a patty.
Yeah, unfortunately, it tastes like beef jerky, which has been soaked in butter and rubbed in sand. The best way to do it is grinding and regrinding it, washing it to remove as much of the salt as possible, and cooking into
as much of the silt as possible.
Oh, silt, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty gross. And it quickly hardens.
Yeah.
So you have to do this, like, this burger preparation thing within 6 hours, or it'll be hard as a rock. But one beholder will feed a village of 50.
Yeah.
So, not so bad.
They have some prices for the different parts. If you can preserve one of them in pickling solution, you can get 12,500 GP, which is a pretty
That's great.
Yeah, pretty good price. This is where they talk about harvesting the floating gas, the teusium.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So you know they moved in the area because game kind of dries up.
Mm-hmm.
You can also search for their droppings, which, like, I didn't think that would be a thing, but they exist.
It does.
It looks like steaming masses that are across between sand and sedimentary rock.
Yep.
5 to 6 cubic feet in volume.
Jesus Dude. Christ.
Jesus Christ. These guys are packing loads, man. Like,
yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, better outside than in, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Like, and that, like, to me, that implies a whole thing where they definitely fart as well.
Oh yeah.
And that's, like, that's weird to me. One of my friends put on Facebook, she took video of a turtle farting.
What?
And, like, it is one of the raunchiest, worst farts I've ever heard, but it came out of a turtle. And, like, I don't care for it at all.
I'm just picturing beholders waiting in line. And just one of them farts and just, like, they bought a box car.
Yeah.
A bunch of instructions on how to kill them, but that's honestly not why I'm here.
Yeah. I don't want to befriend them. I do not want to kill them.
And then the final question, which is my favorite. What about jumping on top of it with a big blanket to cover its eyes?
So specific.
That's like a question that somebody would ask with Bim Bam. This is a Yahoo answer. Well, they have telekinesis, so that's not a thing.
And one of their eyes disintegrates everything.
Yeah. So assuming both of those eyes are disabled, what it will do is take you and then just roll on the ground until you're nothing but a pink paste, and then lick
Which
the
it
paste
will then
up.
Eat. Yeah, then it will then lick the melted snow cone that was you off the ground.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.